Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant, and via the B-Drop waterproofing hotline, we are joined by one of my favorite dudes in the industry. That is Matt Moscona, 104.5 there in Baton Rouge. He is the man. Matt, good morning.
Swain, what's up, dude?
What's up, man? How was your holidays?
Man, holidays were great. It's always good to get a few days off, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but whenever you can, especially in radio, man, like when you can get a Christmas Eve, Christmas Day that falls either Thursday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, so you end up with a four-day weekend, that just feels like an extra Christmas gift under the tree. So this year was especially wonderful.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad. We did a show Christmas Eve, we had Christmas Day, and then Wednesday off. We came back on Thursday, and then obviously we're here today, and then we're gonna take New Year's off, but we'll probably do the show New Year's Eve. But you are right, man. You know, 24 hours, 48 hours of a break in this business, man, it feels like a week. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. And a lot has happened in Baton Rouge. A lot is going on down there in Louisiana. You got the Saints right now that's poised for another Super Bowl run. They have home field advantage. The NFC is, if you want to win it, you got to do it in New Orleans, and it's hard to win down there. You have LSU basketball team that's talented, really, really good coach. You have the football program. Everyone in the world, Matt, is watching LSU. Everyone in the world who wants UCF to shut right. up. We want them to shut up. It's on the hands of LSU. Can Coach Orgeron accept this responsibility and shut up UCF this year? Can it happen?
Swain, I think so. Man, I know we're probably going to get into some of all the personnel and guys that LSU is missing because the list is long at this point. But even still, man, I think everyone would agree that this New Year's Six game, where it's the Power Five against the Group of Five, it's always been a tricky spot, man. You just go back through the years and you can look at, you know, Houston beat Florida State when they were the Group of Five against the Power Five. You saw, obviously, UCF win it last year. Boise won in the first year. The only one where the Power Five beat the Group of Five was when Wisconsin dump trucked Western Michigan that year. PJ Fleck and those guys went undefeated.
Yeah,
it's been tough because, you know, if you're good enough to be a New Year Six representative, then you kind of feel like you were on the doorstep of being in the playoff conversation, right?
Yes.
And you look at Auburn last year; they beat Alabama, they beat Georgia. They win the West. They go to Atlanta. Georgia gets a rematch, beats Auburn, gets in the playoff. Bama doesn't have to play in the game, gets in the playoff. And Auburn has to watch the two teams it beat go play for a championship while it gets to go back to the same stadium that it just played in and play a directional school from Florida, a Group of Five team that thinks it's their Super Bowl. So I get why Auburn maybe didn't have the motivation. It's not to say that UCF isn't a good team. They certainly were last year. I think they are this year. You don't win at any level. You know this.
Yeah.
You don't win 25 in a row at any level without being a good team. They're a good team. The question that everyone has, like, could they do it week in and week out in a major conference? And I think we probably all know the answer to that. But specifically with the motivation, Swain, like, LSU has not been in a major bowl game since they lost the national championship to Alabama after the 2011 season. They've not been in a New Year's Six in the current format. Especially, you go back and you look at the way they lost that A&M game. And when they fell to 9-3, the feeling of a lot of people was they've missed their opportunity at a New Year's Six and will probably end up in the Outback or something like that. So for LSU to be in the Fiesta Bowl, a major bowl that it has never played in, may never play in again, against a team riding a 25-game win streak where they saw what happened to Auburn last year, when they haven't been in a major bowl in seven seasons, man, there's tons of motivation for LSU. I'm not saying that there's no way they could lose. Sure, they could, but Swain, motivation will not be an excuse in this one. Like, no one's going to say if LSU loses that, oh, well, they were overlooking the team, you know, from the Group of Five. That just won't cut it this year.
I'm not a Central Florida hater at all. I was a huge Boise State fan because they went on the road and they played Georgia, and they did not run away from a challenge. Florida offered them a 2-for-1, and they did not take it. I think they should have taken it. It's not like the Swamp is the hardest place to play anyways right now. Take that. You probably could win that game. But I am tired of this narrative that people are scared to play them and they should be able to be considered in the college football playoff. And LSU, they don't have an excuse. I mean, they're not in a position that Auburn is in where they had a chance to play for a national championship and those dreams were just dashed in a week. LSU has been out the playoff hunt for a while. And so they have plenty to play for, which is why I think the players were in the background practicing overtime during the Coach Orgeron recruiting press conference when he had to stop
press conference.
When he had to stop mid-sentence and then he came back and finished mid-sentence. That's a lot of skill right there, Matt. A lot of skill, man. Were you there that day?
Good. No, I was on air. So I'm carrying that. So that was at like 5:30 Central time. So I'm on air in afternoon drive and we're carrying that press conference live because it's O recap in their signing class. And we're airing this and I'm watching him, you know, yell and walk away twice and my mouth just drops. Swain, I don't know how you felt about it, man. I thought that was like, and LSU kind of wanted to distance themselves from it. Like they didn't want that to become a viral thing.
That was great.
I was like, man, embrace that. This is the greatest moment he's ever had in a press conference.
That's great.
I mean, love it was like it. Anybody who's a father who's ever yelled at their kid to quit, you know, horsing around in the background, like anybody could completely relate to that moment. Yeah. So I loved it. Hey, but about Central Florida specifically, though, the good news, Swain, is we don't have to worry, man, because they're not going to get in the playoff ever in a 4-team playoff. And there probably is a program closer to reverting to when they were winless in 2015 than they are to keeping a 25-game win streak going. This just feels like a moment in time for them, and they'll regress, similar to what happened with Western Michigan a few years back when they were undefeated. But, look, man, you know, I agree with you on the 2-for-1 with Florida. And what's happened with that is Danny White and UCF have been exposed as frauds because you cannot stump and try to publicly put forth this idea that nobody will play us. Hey, we tried, nobody will play us. When Florida offered you not one game, not two, but three games, they even said they'd come to your dumpy little stadium in Orlando, and you said no because it's not on your terms. Like, you don't get to huff and puff and stamp your feet because nobody needs to play Central Florida.
Correct.
So, if anything, the people that should be most upset with Danny White for turning that down are the other Group of Five schools because that all that does is further delegitimize them and reduce their opportunity to ever get into a playoff because the one team right now that's kind of their beacon just ran away from an opportunity to play their in-state big brother three times and said, no, we're not going to do a 2-for-1. Like, who are you? Like, take them. Just what you said. What Pat Hill at Fresno State did all those years. We'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. Do that. Go earn your respect.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it. He walked away. So, sorry. Missed your opportunity.
That's why LSU has to take care of business because I can't take another offseason of Central Florida, folks. I just can't. I can't do it. And they would have a good reason, not so much last year because they did turn down these three games against Florida, but in 2 years they would have beaten two SEC teams that were not like, you know, the Tennessees and Arkansas and the, you know, the Vanderbilts. We're talking about two of the best teams in SEC, and so that's why we need LSU to take care of business, Matt. We need them to take care of business. I'm not rooting for LSU because I don't root for other SEC schools. I'm not doing that until Tennessee wins more and until Tennessee's on top. I'm rooting against every SEC school, but I do kind of want LSU to win.
Just root against Central Florida.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't take another offseason. Matt, on a more serious note, man, it's been a rough couple months there for that Baton Rouge community. Wade Sims, basketball player, was shot and killed. And then just most recently, you had an 18-year-old, not an athlete, but he was attempting to rob two athletes during a deal where they were trying to sell some electronics or something like that. And one LSU player acted in self-defense and shot and killed a 18-year-old who was trying to rob him. Matt, what's the mood down there right now in that community?
It's interesting, Swain, because I don't want to be dismissive of that. I don't feel like the mood is super somber or anything like that. I mean, obviously, the Wade Sims shooting death was a big dark cloud over the city for a while. Because, Wade was a kid who's from Baton Rouge. His dad played at LSU. He was a legacy. He was a really good player. And when he was at U High, which is the high school on LSU's campus, I mean, he was Mr. Basketball in Louisiana, led him to three state titles in a row. I mean, everybody's known who Wade Sims is almost his whole life. So that was kind of like a son of the city. And for him to have died so young the way he did, so senselessly and tragically, that took its toll. I don't think there's any question. With what happened this past weekend, I kind of get the sense that more than anything, the general mood is, thank God the players were able to defend themselves. Otherwise, the names might be reversed.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be dismissive of any way in an 18-year-old losing his life again over something so stupid. But I think people have a certain perception when we deal with athletes. And you read headlines like this, and you think, oh, it's just another athlete done wrong. I mean, Swain, like, those two kids, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jared Small, so they went to Catholic High in Baton Rouge, to where I went to school. Just full disclosure, I used to call the high school games for a lot of years for my alma mater, and I called games for those guys. I'm not going to pretend like I know them very well, but I've had enough interaction with them, specifically Clyde, from the time he was a high school freshman all the way to now, to know the kind of kid he is, the kind of character he has, the family he comes from. His dad's an ex-Marine, was BRPD. These are good kids that were doing something that millions of people do every day, which is sell something on an internet marketplace. I mean, how many – Swain, we've all bought or sold something on eBay, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, right? I mean, everybody has done this.
Yeah.
It's not like this is – it's not like they were engaging in some nefarious activity.
Yeah.
They got robbed. And thank God they were able to defend themselves while they were being robbed at gunpoint. So, I mean, it's an awful story. An 18-year-old's dead over something that's very stupid. But I just keep going back to saying, man, thank God these guys were able to defend themselves. And the names weren't reversed in the story.
Matt, as I think about college programs around the country that have to deal with tragedy, LSU is probably the most resilient school in the country. I know what happened in Washington State with their quarterback committing suicide. Auburn, they had a player shot and killed, Jaquel Mitchell, some years ago. But I think about, I'm going all the way back to like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita. I think about the Alton Sterling shooting. It doesn't matter where you stand on whether or not that was right or wrong. It still impacted that community. It still impacted those players on that team. I think about just the Joe McKnight, him being shot and killed there in Louisiana. And then I think about, the basketball player being shot and killed. And now this, man, I don't know if there's another school in the country that's dealt with more. In the country,
man, the same summer as the Alton Sterling shooting was the flood in Baton Rouge, and I don't know how many people remember that story because it didn't become a major national story because it wasn't the named storm or anything. But there were 250,000 homes that were devastated in Baton Rouge in 2016 in that summer. A month before the football season started. I mean, there's still communities in Baton Rouge you drive through right now, and it's like it looks like a bomb went off.
Yeah.
2 years later, 2.5 years later. So, yeah, man. But I'll I'll pat our community on the back. Man, we're resilient people, and Baton Rouge is a great place to live, man. It is. It's been home for a long time, and people take care of each other, and it's part of the reason why a lot of people who were born here stay here, because yeah. they grew up here, and they love it. And we're a community with faults, just like any other community. There's no question. You see that sometimes. It's a great place. But you know the other thing, which you kind of reminded me of, I know you played in that game on that Monday night, you know, post Katrina. We've joked about it sometimes.
Yeah.
But man, if you were in the stadium that day, Swain, playing, and I don't know if you got the sense because y'all flew in and flew out the same day, but it was such a reprieve from everything that was going on to be able to go into Tiger Stadium and watch a football game, and that's kind of the role that LSU Athletics has played. I don't mean to wax poetic here this morning, man, but that is kind of the role that LSU Athletics has played in this community for a lot of years, man. It's been a release. It's been a unifying event. It's been somewhere where people can always come together, no matter you know which side of the political aisle you fall on or what's going on in the city. Everyone always puts on their purple and gold, man. LSU is kind of the great unifier in our city. They've done that a lot of times.
Matt Moscona here on the Swain Event. Matt 104.5 there in Baton Rouge. You can follow him on Twitter, Matt Moscona. Matt, I don't know if you know this or not, but we are on day 23 of our Tennessee offensive coordinator search. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, I think people are convinced that Tennessee already has their guy. And maybe, just maybe, I threw this out here earlier, that Ryan Seacrest is going to announce the hire when the ball drops for New Year's. So we have thrown out so many names of who would be good fits here at Tennessee, who would work, who would not work. Tennessee has an offensive staff already intact. The only opening is a coordinator. There's one guy that you would know something about. I've watched him since his days at NC State. He went to Pitt. He improved Nathan Peterman as a quarterback. The Peterman.
Right.
And he came to LSU. He was the big name. He was a splash name that all fans just want for some reason. Don't care if he's qualified, if the chemistry works, if he's a good fit. They don't care. They just want the name. Matt Canada was that name when he was brought in to LSU. What can you tell us about what happened, what didn't happen, why it didn't happen, and you know, what you thought about Matt Canada?
So I would have loved to have seen what Matt Canada's offense would have looked like at LSU if Ed Orgeron would have let him run it. And that didn't happen. Ed and Matt butted heads very early in it when Matt got to Baton Rouge. Their personalities clashed, and that spilled over onto the field. And in my opinion, that's the fault of the head coach. He's got to be better than that. But I think both guys shoulder some blame. And so we never really got to see what Matt Canada's offense could look like against SEC defenses if he just got full autonomy to run it. It's interesting, Swain, because they did some really good things, man. You know, like, they actually moved the ball against Alabama, and they were able to put that defense in some disadvantageous situations. I don't know that he could have recreated in the SEC what he did at Pitt when they averaged 42 a game and it was a finalist for the Broyles Award, but maybe he could have. We just didn't get to see it. The other part of it, too, is I think it is worth noting, because this is part of Matt's narrative now, is the number of places he's been in a relatively short amount of time, from Wisconsin and NC State and Pitt and LSU and then to Maryland. You know, when you're that transient and you're not necessarily elevating, right, it's not like you went from a group of five to a low power five to a major power five program than a head coach. Like, he's making a lot of lateral moves, yeah. And a lot of times it's instances where either he's clashing or an administrator doesn't want to offer him an extension, and so they move him out. It's just, at some point that reputation starts to follow you, man, and at some point you wonder if the reputation is justified. Specifically with LSU, I'll tell you definitively that the clashes that Ed Orgeron and Matt Canada had, both of them shouldered blame for it. But you can also look back over the last 7 years or so and realize that Matt Canada's been a lot of places, and it seems to be the same story following him around over and over again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he and Jeremy Pruitt would get along, if Pruitt would give him autonomy to run the offense, what I do know definitively, Swain, is Matt Cannon wants to be head coach. So even if you did get him and he had any success, he wouldn't be there long. He interviewed for the Troy job when Neil Brown got it. He interviewed for the Western Kentucky job.
Helton?
It must have been, it was Tyson Helton who got it?
Yeah, Tyson Helton got it.
It must have been, that was maybe three years ago?
Okay.
Anyway, Cannon is one of those guys that wants to be head coach. And as soon as, it doesn't matter where, as soon as he gets the opportunity, he's going to go be head coach. So that's something else to consider with him also.
Last question, Matt. I know we've had you on a long time, man. I know you got things to do. I miss you, man. It's just good to catch up with you, man. It's always a good conversation.
Swain,
so.
I got all the time you need, man. It's never a deal, man.
Well, I appreciate it, man. But last question, get you out of here on this. The Saints, they're rocking and rolling. We try to keep up with Alvin Kamara as much as we can, but we're here in Knoxville. We have Vols all around the world. But you're right there, man. You have boots on the ground. What's the latest on Alvin Kamara? I know he says and does things all the time that makes you laugh, and he's so down to earth. But he did not make the Pro Bowl. Made me really, really upset there. But give us an Alvin Kamara update from your perspective.
Alvin Kamara is my spirit animal.
Yes.
I love that guy. I mean, I remember, Swain, when they drafted him, you got to remember they had Mark Ingram. They had signed Ingram to an extension. And then they had signed Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded up in the third round to get Kamara, and I thought, what in the hell are you doing with two? You're trading up to get another running back? It just didn't make any sense. Sean Payton in the draft has had a sketchy past. He's a feast or famine type guy. And, man, I don't know that I've ever been more wrong. I mean, Drew Brees is the engine that makes that thing go, but it feels right now like Kamara's the tires, man, just because he can run the ball between the tackles. I mean, not that y'all know this, but I mean, they can run edge plays, like on the two-point conversion. They can run that pitch to him. He'll get to the edge and beat any defensive back to a spot. They've needed him to be dynamic in the passing game because the Saints really don't have a second receiver, and he has been awesome. And maybe the most amazing thing, Swain, is the way he runs. I kind of always just kind of hold my breath wondering, all right, is all the dancing and the juking, is he going to set himself up to take the big shot one day because of his running style? And he's like Gumby, man. He just kind of bounces off of contact, and he always seems to avoid the big hit too, which is super impressive. And I love the guy. I mean, I'm thrilled that he's in New Orleans. I hope he plays his whole career here, man. He has been such a joy to watch. And on top of that, man, you got him on the sideline doing the Choppa style dance. That's one of the things that sort of recreated Choppa style in New Orleans right now, right, man. It's been awesome.
That's right. Maybe if the Saints win the Super Bowl, maybe Lil Wayne will become a Saints fan, not a Packers fan. Maybe we can see that.
Well, Wayne, look, he can do whatever he wants, man, because the truth is, if you know anything about New Orleans and the NOLA bounce movement from the late 90s and early 2000s, man, when you got Choppa and you got P and you got, Juvenile and that whole gang, the 504 boys, I mean, New Orleans is proud of its rap and NOLA bounce, man. So Wayne can do whatever he wants, man. People in New Orleans will embrace Choppa and then do the Choppa style until it goes out of style again.
I'm with you. Matt, you are the man. 104.5 Baton Rouge afternoon show. Check him out. Follow him on Twitter. Matt, how about you send me a recipe for a hand grenade since it's the holidays?
That's easy, bro.
And
Everclear.
Hook your boy up. What is it?
It's just Everclear and an hand grenade mix, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Everclear, woo.
Yeah. If you're on Bourbon Street, you go get you a hand grenade. Make sure you got someone with you who's gonna be accountable for you at all times.
I need that, man. I need one of those, man. I need that. That'd be great. Matt, thank you so much, man. Happy holidays to you and your family, and I appreciate your time.
You got it, Swain. See you, dude.
Thank you.